session number 9875, reel 1.
George Ashurst, Reel 1. Could you tell me something about your early background?
Well, first of all, I was born at Tontine, a village halfway, say, between, well, something like that, between Wigan and Liverpool, a little village. I was born there. There were six or seven of us.
What year were you born?
What? 1895, I was born, March. March the 3rd, 1895. And we lived, of course, there in a cottage. And my father worked at a quarry. And
what, as a labourer, or was he?
Oh, he was a labourer, quarrying. And when I got of a certain age...
What sort of upbringing was it? Was it comfortable? Did you have food, clothes, and everything?
Enough food. I never remember being short of food. That was quite all right. But we had a rough life because of my dad. You see, of course you don't like saying these things, but I'll have to say them. You see, my dad was a proper ale can, a proper old boozer. And they used to give my mother about half his wages and spend the other half in the little village pub. And he told us old beer. He couldn't afford to sell spirits or anything like that. It was just a little beer house. And they used to play dominoes. Anyway, he used to spend most of his money there. And my mother used to take him washing. And of course she had six or seven others that they used to look after. And she used to make her own bread and cakes and pies. Oh, we lived very well, really, because Mother was a good cook. And when I was old enough, say for school, I had to trot off to school, which was a mile and a half away.
Do you remember its name?
Aldgate's School. Aldgate's. It's still there to this day, a little old stone school in, I think it's Moor Road, I'm not sure about that, but it's Oral there. And I went there and it came my turn to take my dad's breakfast. Mother used to prepare his breakfast, you know, egg and bacon and so forth, in the old pan. And I had to trot off with it, and I was only about five, you know, or six. I'd had a mile to go, practically, to the quarry, take it to him, but at the same time, I had to take the fella that lived next door. The lady next door asked me to take her husband's, so I took them all at the same time. And she used to always give me a slice of bread that she'd done in her Dutch oven. And it was thick with fat, you know, but I used to enjoy this fat running down here. Anyway, that's what I had to do. And I went to school there. I remember we had some good times, you know. We could roam round the fields there, no interference, jumping ditches and climbing trees and chasing pheasants and bird nesting. Oh, us boys, what a grand time, really, there.
What sort of
lovely country.
What sort of education did you get at Ashurst? What did they concentrate on teaching you?
Then, I suppose how to read and how to talk or something. Not much then, because I remember while I was there, that was a famous ghost. It was all over the country and people were coming from all over the country to see it. It was a cottage right in front of Apollon Church, just the lane in between. But there was a pub, a the lane in between the church. And next door to pub, this house was built to it, you know. And that was the one that was haunted. And I remember going there as just a little lad, walking up to have a look. And there was crowds of people there. The lane was full, the churchyard was full. And I managed to shove between, you know, and I could see the policeman standing at the door. It was closed and the people had been taken out, you know. And I understood that there was suitcases and anything that was loose in the house was flying about, being thrown about. That's what I understood then. Anyway, they said it was the grave of George Lyon. You know, the thief that was hung, you know, at that time. He's only buried a few feet from the wall, the church wall, of the lane. He's only buried a few feet inside. So everybody said, of course, it was his ghost, you know. But it was not. Don't know, I never know to this day. Anyhow, I always remember that because of this ghost, you know. And I used to go to church, the old church, every Sunday morning. Not everyone, but I did go to the church every Sunday morning and go in the vestry and get a couple of loaves of bread and bring them back to an old couple that was in our village. Two loaves of bread. I used to get them off the, what's the name do you call him, you know, in the vestry and bring them back to these two old folk that live near us. Two very old people. Anyway, that would be most of the things. I remember once, the only outing we ever had, we went on a horse and wagonette, if you know what a wagonette, all the children. And we went to Sandhills, Southport. And I remember jogging along on that. And when you get towards about Barbold, you come to a canal bridge, you've got to go over the Leeds and Liverpool Canal. We all had to get off, all the children, and shove up the lorry, help the horse get it over the top. I remember that too. Anyway, we had a jolly good time on those sands playing, you know, and this, that and the other.
How long were you at that school? You were there from about 5 to when?
To about 7. Or 8. 7, I should think. Yes. And then, after that lot, we had to move. My father got the quarry finished, something happened, and he lost his job, and we had to move. And he went to Bryn. That's, you know, Warrington away from here. And he got a job there, down the pit. And, of course, I had two sisters then, you know, older than me. And they had to get work as well. And they worked for Eckersley's Mill in Wigan, a cotton mill. Both of them. Anyway, we were there for a while at Bryn. And all I remember really about that, I know I always had to go to church on Sunday. My mother was very strict on that. 3 times at Sunday, morning, afternoon and night. Anyway, trams used to be coming from Wigan then, you know, the electric trams, you know. We used to jump on the back while the conductor was inside getting a fare. We'd jump on, hang on to the handrail and have a ride so far, then drop off, you know. We used to play that game. And then...
What was your school like at Bryn?
Oh, it wasn't... it was ordinary school, you know. Just sat there writing and reading. Nothing extra like. Anyway, we had to move from there. And my dad got a job. It's an ironworks in Wigan. So, of course, he was after a house in Wigan, and we got one, a new house. Lower down there, Helena Street. So we moved into that. And of course, my two sisters worked at Eckersley's, which was quite close. That's the factory near Wigan Pier there. That's the one they worked in. And I had to go to school to Thomas's Clayton Street School. I don't think that's existed now, that school. Anyway, I went there, and of course you've got to go to school until you're 13 in those days. And when I was 12, I was in class 7. I was a jolly good scholar, don't mind telling you. I was a good scholar, and when I was 12, the headmaster, he gave me a job doing anything about the school, filling in pots and all sorts of things. And I used to take my teacher's love letters to another school at Inns, and he used to give me tuppence for tuppence for the bus fare, you know, and she'd give me the same when I got there, so I was on a good thing instead of doing school. Anyway, that had to come to an end. When I was 13, I had to leave then. And Mr. Cocker, sorry, I was leaving, he said. Anyway.
What did you think you were going to do? Did you have any ideas?
No idea whatever. No job or anything. I'd have to look for one, you know what I mean. Anyway, I've been at home a little while when I got a letter from Mr. Cocker, the headmaster, the old headmaster, and it said, come to the school, he wants to see me at once. So I did, I went, I was out of work, you know. So I went, and he gave me a letter. He said, now I want you to take this letter to Douglas Bank Colliery, Woodhouse Lane, and give it to the manager. I said, all right, very good, sir. So I went, and I took this letter, and I gave it to the manager, and he handed it to the agent that was sat there, and the cashier. They all read the letter, and then the manager turned to me and he said, well, he said, from this letter, he said, I cannot possibly refuse you the job, my lad. So he said, you must start next Monday morning, report to Mr. Barnes, the head clerk. So I did, and I did 3 years there.
What were you being employed as?
Office boy, for a start. And of course, I soon grew up into a clerk, you know. In the 3 years, I was handling the, I was paying the North Pit £600 a Friday in cash.
So that'd be 1908 to 1911, somewhere around there. 13.
Yes, that's it.
What was it, when you first got there, what were your first duty? What did you have to do as an office boy before you became a full skid?
Well, I'll tell you one job I did. I had to go for a bottle of whiskey down to a pub a bit lower down for the cashier and his mate, like Ed Clark. And I used to have to go down for that bottle of whiskey for them. And they gave it me, you know, because they knew where I'd come from. Only a bit lower down the street. And I suppose I did. I made papers out for sawdust and things like that. The fellas came to buy at the window, you know, and I'd make them a paper out for 3 bags of sawdust.
Where would the sawdust come from?
The works, you know. Tremendous lot of works on top of a colliery, you know, fitters and joiners and electricians, they're all there, you know. And they used to cut these paper ops, you see, and all that. Anyway, well, I used to sell umpteen bags of that sawdust. And
what else did you have to do?
Answer the telephone, because the two Morris brothers owned the mine. One lived in London and the other lived in Ceylon. Sri Lanka is what it's called now, isn't it? Anyway, they used to come every so often and have a look at us. and the lady who was employed at the offices for cleaning, well, there was two of them really, they used to get a big deal for them, the big dinner, you know, and of course I used to get a little bit of it when they'd finished. I used to get a nice bit, and they decided to close the pits, you know, so they...
Well, how did your job change when you became a full clerk before that happened?
Oh, I started to work out the wages and all that sort of thing, you know.
Did you have
any... entering the big ledgers.
Did you have any training at that, or was it just experience?
I just experienced and picked it up, you know. And if the clerk was off, I would do his, and so forth. Anyway, like I tell you, I was dealing with £600 worth of cash on the Friday, in sovereigns, half sovereigns, you know, 5 shilling pieces, half crowns, 2 bobs, all spread out on a big desk. And I did that because I had a wage sheet and I had the tin boxes, the same numbers, you know, and I had to fill the tin boxes with the wage on the wage sheet, you know. You could always tell whether it was right or wrong by the balance that was left, you know. Anyway...
Would you give the wages to the men or would...
Yes, I could do, yes, said Mr. Barnes, if somebody just walked away to the toilet or anything. I would answer the little bobble where we paid them all, you know. Because once a fella came, he was a pound short, you know. Well, it was what I'd done. It was his wages, I'd done them. Then another fella came, he was a pound short. They were the wages I'd done. Anyway, we had to report it to the cashier, and he made it right. But he said to me, I'll stop that game. They know you're new. And they were coming back, you see, saying, you're paying me a pound short, eh? We hadn't done nothing of the sort, you know. Anyway, we got over that. And I was writing the books and doing everything that any other clerk did practically there. You know, before I finished.
They said that the colliery was closed. How did that come about?
I don't know why, because the miners did say there was plenty of coal still left in it.
Right.
It was all finished and closed down, and they kept me on and the clerks. They kept us on for about 3 months, doing nothing and paid us our wages. And that was the end of that, you see. So I came home and had no work.
That'd be about 1911, would it?
No. Yes, that's right, about 1911. Anyway, I keep getting all sorts of jobs after I'd had that. Oh, I get quite a number of jobs.
What sort of jobs were they?
Oh, going round with a rent floater and fruit cart. All sorts of jobs I got. Anyway, when I got these jobs, my dad, although he was ale can like he was and all the rest of it, he said to me, if you start any of those jobs, I'll break your bloody neck. That was when I got a job and I was out of work. So I couldn't start them, you see.
Why did he think that? What was?
Because he said, you started with a collar and tie round your neck and you're keeping it on. Do you see? That was his idea. It was all right in a way. I didn't think so then. Anyhow, time goes on like that and I'm still out of work. And one Friday afternoon, I'd been out and I came in and they're all having tea, you know. And I said to my mother, oh, I don't want that, forget what it was. I don't want that, mother. I can have something else. Well, my two elder sisters are sat on the table having their tea and they're working, you know. Oh, they said, listen then, out of work and ordering what the special tea for himself, you know. Because my mother always saw I had about 6 months spending money or something like that. Anyway, They didn't know how much that hurt me. It did do, you know, but they didn't know. I went out, and the following night, I went down Darlington Street where the recruiting sergeant was, and I thought I would join the army. They'll not stop me then. Another fella from up Scholes was there, and he was going to join the army, and he was older than me. Anyway, I said, he said, are we going in? I said, come on. So we went in, and the recruiting sergeant booked in first. Then he said to me, how old are you? I said, 16 and a half. I was 16 and a half, so you can tell what you're 16 and a half. He said, you're not, you're 17 and a half. I said, no, I'm not, I'm 16 and a half. He said, I tell you, you're 17 and a half. He said, he couldn't take me unless I was 17. That was his idea. So I had to let him have it. And when he booked me in, it's 17 and a half, of course. And I have to report there again the following afternoon, somewhere around about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Both of us had to. Anyway, we both turned up, and he said, come on with me. And he marched us down to Rodney Street in Wigan, to a magistrate. I didn't know, I forget his name. Anyway, he was a magistrate. And we had to take the Bible and swear all this, that and the other, you know, signing on. And we did it. We came back to the recruiting office. He gave us 1 and 9 pence each and a free ticket to Bury Barracks. So off we went, and I never said nothing to him at all, you know. Had no idea where I'd gone or anything.
Now, this was the Lancashire Fusiliers you were joining, and which battalion were you joining?
Well, you see, in that barracks, there were soldiers for the 1st and the 2nd. Recruits for the 1st and the 2nd. There was 2 companies inside. I think it was A and H, you see. Well, this fella from up Scholes went in a different company to me. I was in A, and he was in H. Anyway, never bothered really then, but it was 2nd or 1st. All it meant, we were in the Lancashire Fusiliers.
What? So you got your train ticket. Did you didn't tell your family?
No, I told nobody where I was. No.
You just went off to Bury?
Just went off like that. Nobody knew, really. So we landed at Bury Barracks, and we bought a packet of woodbines, I think. We landed at Bury Barracks, and of course it was weekend, Friday or Saturday. And they shoved us in a hut, like an Eastern hut, you know, where we could sleep for the night. And the fellow that put us in there, he said, now you're all right here tonight, and tomorrow morning come with the lads for your breakfast, to dining hall. Okay. So that's what we did, you see. And then, of course, we carried on. Soldiering. I went to school in the afternoon. There was a school, you know, with a sergeant taking us. And I went to the school. And I got my third class certificate of education. Very quickly I got that, being a clerk. And you know, some of the lads were rough stuff in those days, you know. They couldn't read nor write or nothing. So I flew in front of them. And I got my third class certificate of education. And that meant when I started to shoot, if I was a first class shot, I would get 6 pence a day extra pay. So that was half my wages again, you see. I was only getting a shilling a day, you know. So I was getting 6 pence a day of a rise. And later on, of course, when we go to camp, I am a first-class shot. As a matter of fact, I was a marksman.
Now, this training went on for 6 months.
Yes.
You were based at Bury Barracks, were you?
Yes.
What were the barracks like that you were living in? How many? Could you describe what conditions were like?
Well, I think they were very nice. Now, we lived, of course, in barrack rooms with nice beds and everything and regular meals. It was quite all right, and the trading was a bit rough, you know what I mean? You got some rough sergeants dealing with you. You know, they used to shout at you like, that man there, you know, you put your cap straight or something like that.
So what was your drill like? What drill did you do?
All sorts. Marching especially. Marching. But first of all, you always got gyms in the morning. Oh, yes. And now and again, we used to take off for a trot round Bury and back, you know.
What would you do during the gym?
Yes, go round Bury sometimes for a run and back. But we had a place where we could jump and run near the, beside the barrack square, you know, just behind there. And anyway, that was only lasted so long before breakfast.
And what would you get for breakfast?
Well, now let's see. It was nothing really. We got much for breakfast. But we always got two thick slices of army bread, and it was a good bread, you know. Always was army bread. It was always jolly good. Anyway, we got two thick slices, a bit of bacon, you know, or egg or something like that. And porridge. Oh, porridge many a time. First of all, oh yes, we were fed all right, but we had a canteen. We could always go across and get 2 penny with the butter, you know, or a cake or something like that. There was always a canteen we could go to if we wanted and spend a bit more. Always a canteen in the barracks. So life went on like that.
What other training did you do? Did you have
we were fighting with swords. The what's the name instructor that I had, he was interested in things like that, and he used to teach us how to fight with a sword. That was in the gymnasium classes, you know. Oh yes, he'd have us fighting with swords. I don't know what good that was, but anyway, we used to like it because he said any good, if we were good, he would teach us how to do this thing, battle with a sword properly. He was an excellent chap. And that's what we did.
Did you get your rifle training during that 6 months?
Oh yeah, we get the 22s first of all, in the barracks, the corner over there. You know, you got your 22s to start with. You didn't get no live ammunition till you went to camp. No live ammunition in the barrack till you went to camp.
What about bayonet fighting? Were you taught any of that?
Oh yes, of course. Running and stabbing at the sandbags, and oh yes, running. And of course most of that came when we were in camp, you know, that sort of stuff, because we'd room, you see.
Not during the 6 months then?
No, not a lot during the 6 months. No, it was more the discipline sort of thing in the barracks.
How did you react to the army lifestyle and discipline? Did you like it?
Well, it was all right. I didn't grumble so much, because I was rather a bit favoured.
Why were you favoured?
Why? Because I was so quick on my education, and I was good at the rifle, learning the rifle, and you know, the action of it, and weight, and all that sort of thing. What do they call it?
You were a promising recruit then?
Oh, yes.
How did
when my time finished at that barracks, well, of course I came home then, you know. You want to know what happened in the meantime?
Well, no, before we go on to that, we'll stick to the... So you didn't find any trouble with the discipline. What about the lack of privacy and being in barracks and things like that?
No, because we were allowed out, you know, into town. we could go out in town, and of course Bury was always full of prostitutes, you know, one thing and another like that. Anyway,
what about how did you get on with your fellow soldiers, your other ranks?
Oh, you had squarrel, you had fights, and you were very friendly. It was both ways. For instance, that lad that joined up with me, he was a terror. He was from a terrible place at Wigan, you know, Scholes, where all the rough stuff lived. And he was a devil, you know. Because one day, he was having a... There was always plenty of cockneys in them barracks. Now, that's a surprising thing, isn't it? But there was always plenty of Londoners. And one day he was having a fight with one of these Londoners in the barrack room. And this Londoner was standing on a bed, you know. And all of a sudden this lad, Scholes lad, he shot his hands up, grabbed this fella and pulled him down on his head, lad. Then Dad smashed his face, you know. So anyway, when he was recovered and that, the officer made him go to the gym, put the gloves on. Well, he thought he would. So they marched across, and of course there's always a gang with each one, you know, marching across the barrack square to the gymnasium to see this fight between these two. They know it's going to be a good fight because this Londoner's supposed to be able to box a bit. Anyway, while they're marching across the market square, the barrack square, this regular says to this cockney, he says, I know you'll beat me in that ring, you know, I know that. But he says, when we come out, I'll chop you to death. And they turned back. They never went. We never had the fight at all. The cockney turned back. It was true, too. It wasn't.